Hi, this week's episode is going to be a little different. I hope you still find it valuable and keeping with the theme of positivity, but it's pretty specific to those going through infertility or have gone through infertility or know of someone who's gone through infertility. This week, I'm sharing my infertility story. We are only given this one life. We can't always control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond. So in reality, your life is 100% in your control. You are in control of your happiness. Do you believe that? Does that even make sense? To be honest, that kind of thinking used to seem so foreign to me. I was going through the motions of life, not really living life, just existing. But I thought that's just how life was. I didn't know life could be any different, and that I had the power to choose different. Learning about intentions, how to set goals, self-care, affirmations, and the power of positive thoughts and habits changed my life. Welcome to the Power of Positive podcast. I am your host, Nikki Johnson, and on more than one occasion, I've been told I'm annoyingly positive, but I don't mind one bit. I am addicted to living a better life, and it all starts with a positive mindset. I'm just sharing what I've learned from research and personal experiences, bettering my health, mindset, relationships, confidence, and self-love to help us both live a happy life. Do you believe everything happens for a reason? That there's a reason that everything happens? That maybe you don't understand it, but you believe that everything you're going through, everything that happens in life has a purpose, has a reason, that everything happens as it should. Sometimes that can be really hard to understand and to hold faith in. But I'm a firm believer in it, and time after time, things happen in life, to me anyway, that just solidify that everything happens for a reason. For probably over a year now, I've had as a title, if you will, in the bio of my Instagram profile, infertility survivor. And it's not a term that I had heard before. I mean, I'm not saying I'm coining the phrase. I mean, maybe I had heard it somewhere and subconsciously stored it away. But as I was trying to figure out in the limited number of characters what, I guess, to recap my life in a few words, what to choose to put in that bio, I knew I wanted to include my infertility story some way. As someone on the other side of it now, to connect with other people. And infertility survivor just, I thought, was a simple way to explain my story. And then just a few days ago, looking online, realized that Sunday, May 3rd is designated as Infertility Survivor Day. And I thought to myself, wow, I didn't even know this day existed. And so I was talking to my husband about it and how I found it so interesting that I had sort of labeled myself as an infertility survivor and then come to find out that there was an actual day. And after telling him the story, he kind of paused for a moment and thought about it and then shared how he didn't really think that infertility survivor was the right title, if you will. And so after some discussion about it, I'm still not quite sure that that is the title, I guess, I would give myself in regards to our story. But being that it is Infertility Survivor Day on Sunday, May 3rd, and being that we have gone through infertility and are now on the other side, I felt it was a good time to share our story. And it all started probably about 30 years ago. In the third grade, our teacher asked us to draw a picture of who we wanted to be when we grew up. I knew right away what I would draw a picture of. I was excited to tell my teacher that I wanted to be a mom when I grew up. And I can remember her saying, "Oh, sweetie, that's great that you want to be a mom, but what else do you want to be?" I remember being so heartbroken that I couldn't draw a picture of a mom. I'm not sure if she was trying to say that I needed to be more than a mom, or maybe she just wanted me to dream bigger. Maybe she wanted me to think that I could be a great mom and also be something else. But at the time, I was just really sad. I couldn't think of anything else that I wanted to be. So after thinking for a long time about it, I came up with drawing a picture of a model. It was the only thing I could think of that would just be a picture of a regular person, because that's what I wanted to be. I don't know, maybe I chose a model because a mom is a role model. I mean, obviously, at the time, I was thinking a fashion model, which is just really silly because I'm totally not into fashion as an adult. But either way, that's how the story started. Even as a young girl, all I wanted to be was a mom. As I got older, I got into babysitting. I remember taking this little Saturday morning class about how to be a good babysitter, and I had this little bag of goodies that I would take, toys and stickers and whatever, when I would go to babysit kids. And then when I was in college, I worked in a daycare center. Brian and I married young. I was 19 and he was 20. And so I worked as a waitress first couple years that we were married. And then I started to babysit in a home for a family. So I guess I was a nanny, because at that time we lived in an apartment. And my goal was to, once we purchased a home, that I would open a daycare. So I was about 22 when I opened my daycare. It was right about that time that we decided to try to start a family. I was so young that my doctor really just said, "Okay, well, just, you know, keep trying, and you know, we'll talk to you again in a couple months," basically. He was really laid back about it, and I suppose that was the right approach, but at the time, you know, waiting my whole life to be a mom, it's not what I wanted to hear at all. So we started real basic. Back then, what was that, 15 years ago? It was just take your temperature each morning before you got out of bed. And on the days that you had an elevated temperature, those were the days you were likely to be ovulating. So those are the days that we would try. That was probably a solid year of life. Waking up, taking my temperature, and most of the time, probably 90% of the time, my temperature was the exact same. So obviously that didn't get us very far. Finally, after a year of that, we were referred to a specialist. And again, it was so long ago, so I'm not sure what the method is these days. But we started with Clomid, I think it was. And I don't know, maybe 6 months or so, we went through multiple rounds of artificial insemination with no success, and I just felt like that doctor wasn't a good fit for us. I think he was just really old school and just sort of felt like he was going through the motions with us and didn't really give us a lot of personalized attention. During this time, two of my very best friends got pregnant. And I remember how painful it was to show how excited I was for them. I mean, I was so excited for them, but at the very same time, so sad. It was so painful. And I tried not to show that to them because I felt like they just didn't deserve my sadness at such a happy time during their life. And then there were the unwanted pregnancies that my husband would come home from teaching high school and tell me about. We chose to really not share with anyone about our infertility at that time. Things are so different now. I feel like if I were going through it again, I probably would choose to talk about it more. You know, social media just wasn't what it is now. I feel like there's a huge community of TTC trying to conceive that I could connect with. Although I'm not quite sure. I am a pretty private person when it comes to certain things. So I'm just not quite sure how I would handle it. Being that we didn't share our infertility with anyone else, we just relied on each other. And it really strengthened our marriage. So I guess the silver lining, the everything happens for a reason, would be that it really made us closer. It really strengthened our marriage that we had to lean on each other. So after dealing with our first doctor for, gosh, I don't remember, 6 to 9 months maybe. It was such a long time ago. I really should have kept a journal of things. I'm awful with dates anyway. But we finally went to a new specialist and immediately felt so much better about that doctor. We basically started our treatments the same with this new doctor, but it was just a different feeling with her. She just gave us more personal attention. And we didn't stay too long in phase one, if you will. That first step, the basic Clomid and artificial insemination, we just tried that a few times. And then we moved on to in vitro fertilization. We doctored about 45 minutes from our house. And at that time, I had our daycare in home and I had 8 kids, about 10 hours a day. So it was exhausting. I would get up early and drive the 45 minutes when it was still dark out, make the first appointment that I could, the earliest appointment at that doctor, and then drive back. And I'd really only inconvenience my daycare parents probably an hour. So sometimes twice a week, I would have to start my daycare an hour later. And somehow I had incredible daycare parents that were understanding, that didn't ask questions, that I just had to say, you know, I have a doctor's appointment and I won't be able to, you know, take the kids until this time. I guess looking back, they had to have known what I was going through, being that I had a daycare and didn't have any kids. You know, that probably seemed odd to them. But they were just great parents, very understanding and loving and flexible. My daycare kids really were my little family. I remember my friends joking about how I talked about my daycare kids like they were my own, that I would show them pictures and tell them, you know, their latest tricks, what they were doing. And I talked about them like they were my kids. So it was right about spring or summertime of 2006 when we did our first round of in vitro fertilization. I remember being so nervous, not sure what to expect, really excited, so anxious, just so worried, so hopeful, but not wanting to get my hopes up. But I just so badly wanted it to happen. I wanted this to be the time after so many negative tests. I just wanted this to be the time that it worked. I think my anxiety and nervousness played a role in the outcome, because that first round was not successful. I was devastated. At this point, we were about 4 years in to trying to conceive, but I knew that we had to keep going. And even though I was so disappointed from that first round being unsuccessful, I knew we had to try again, and I was just as hopeful. In fact, I know my doctor said, you know, this next time you're going to be more relaxed, you're going to know what to expect, And I think that was the first time that I ever really, really, really understood just how much of a factor my mindset was. I really, at that point, started to believe in positive thinking. Going into that second round of IVF, I remember just telling myself to be calm, to have faith, to trust that everything would work out, to trust that this would be the time. And after that, what felt like weeks, I think it was 3 days after the procedure that we had to wait to take the test to see if it had worked, I remember seeing a positive sign and not believing it. Like, I saw it and it registered, but I just had to sit on it. I just had to sit and think and make sure, is that what I'm seeing? Is that really a positive sign? Maybe if I just walk away and come back in a few minutes and check it again, maybe then it will be reality. I can't believe I did this, but I think I was just nervous to really believe it, if that makes any sense. Years leading up to this, I had thought about that moment when I would tell him that we were pregnant. Like, I thought about that a lot. You know, just celebrating that moment together. But it didn't happen like that at all. I'm basically embarrassed to tell you how it went down. And I don't really understand why, but all I can think of is that I was just nervous to show him the positive test because I didn't believe it myself. There was no magical moment where I showed him the positive test and said, you know, finally, honey, we're pregnant. Sadly, he found it in the trash can. I don't remember exactly how the day went, but I know that we weren't home at the same time until much later in the day, and I had planned on just taking the day for it to really sink in for me, and then sharing the news with him later that night. But for whatever reason, I was gone and he came home and he had been waiting for me to text him that day with the results. And I had hesitated because I guess fear. I just couldn't believe it. Which, looking back on that now, why wouldn't I tell him and we could sit in that nervous, is this real feeling together? I guess I thought at that time that I was just somehow helping him. I don't know. But it was real. We were really pregnant. It had finally really happened. And 5 years after trying, we finally got our baby girl. Girl. Yeah, a girl. The entire time thought it was a boy. I have two brothers. He has two brothers. There's nothing but boys on both sides of our family. I just felt it was a boy the entire 9 months. And I remember the doctor saying it's a girl, and it didn't really register. We had a girl name picked out, so she was named right away, but it wasn't until the next morning when I looked in the crib, bassinet, whatever, beside my bed, and it was real. She was there. I was a mom. All the pills, shots, poking, doctor's appointments, miles on the car, money for all of the medical procedures and bills and medications. It was all totally worth it, and I would 100% do it over again. She is perfect in every way, and I am beyond blessed to be her mom. Now, that's not to say I have the perfect life. I don't want to give that impression by any means. I'm pretty sure I think she's perfect because of all we went through to get her. Because we had waited so long to finally meet her. But that's probably what every mom thinks, right? Now here we are, over 13 years later. I'm finally at the point where I can share this story without breaking down crying multiple times. I think it really does get easier the more I talk about it. I suppose it's part of the healing process. Sharing my story, just bringing awareness and hopefully understanding to people who aren't going through infertility. The more we talk about it and help people understand, I know part of it was the fact that we just chose not to tell anyone, but I can remember coming home from a family Christmas one year and basically just crying the whole way home. A family member had asked, "So when are you guys going to have kids?" A seemingly innocent question, but for me, caused so much pain. Talking about infertility and sharing our personal stories, just bringing awareness to people who aren't going through it, how they can be supportive, and just basic things like not asking those types of questions. I know the person who asked didn't mean to be rude or to cause any hard feelings, but it hurt. It hurt unbelievably bad for a long time. So I guess my best advice for someone who is supporting someone going through infertility is to not ask questions or even say things like, "I understand," because if you haven't gone through it, you don't really understand. The best thing you can do is just say, "I'm thinking of you. I'm here for you. Let me know if there's anything I can do." And maybe just spending time with them. And if you are going through infertility yourself, stay positive. Lean on your spouse or significant other or best friend and really just have faith that everything will work out as it should. Don't try to make sense of why this is happening. Just accept it and stay positive. Thanks for joining me today. I hope my sharing has helped you in some way. And if it has, let me know by connecting with me on social. You can find me on Instagram at I am Nikki J. That's the letters I-M-N-I-K-K-I-J. Take a screenshot of this episode and share it to your stories to let others know this episode was helpful to you. And could you tag me also? I want to know which topics benefit you most. One more thing. Could you take a second to rate the podcast? It would mean so much. Your rating and comment will help people looking to connect with people like you and I find this podcast too. Thanks so much.